Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey, sans, vesan, and many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm your host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this is the podcast where we dissect social media in all shapes and sizes and serve it all up as an inspirational and educational dish, I'd like to think. It's the final week of June 2016. July is upon us. I'm looking forward to my birthday, which is only in a couple of weeks. Very excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Delaney Simmons of WNYC, and we're going to talk about social audio, radio, podcasting, and more. But before that, a couple of other bits to cover off. First of all, I have to say the word Brexit. Yep, it's happening. Pretty topical right now, and this isn't a political podcast, but it's interesting to see that once again, social media proved to be a very poor bellwether of Britain's voting behaviour. In my case, 99% of people in my streams were definitely in favour of staying in, so staying in the European Union, along with all the pundits and pollsters and campaigners, etc. So judging by social media, I thought the referendum was going to be an easy win for the in camp. Not so. So I was very surprised, just like many other people. And I do remember some time ago, David Cameron once said that Twitter is not Britain. And now we know exactly how right he was. If anything, social media is more of an echo chamber where most of us have already decided what we think and we follow people that support that view. So lesson learned for me, at least, do not trust what everyone on social is saying. These people are not the same people that are actually turning up to vote. On a brighter note, we, as in Link Humans, the home of Social Media Know-How, your favourite social media podcast, we are looking for a new member of the team. Yep, we're currently looking for a social and digital marketing executive based here in beautiful Camden Town, North London. If you know anyone, please let them know. Or if you can't think of anyone, why not apply yourself? More details are available at linkhumans.com, as well as our own hashtag, which is LifeAtLinkHumans. Hashtag LifeAtLinkHumans. Now, you can't wait to fire off that CV. Ping me an email. I am reachable at jorgen@linkhumans.com, or just hit me up on Twitter or other places. And if you have any other suggestions or any ideas for future podcast episodes, please get in touch as well. You don't have to apply for a job. All right, with that, it's time for our tip of the week. Have you got an event coming up that you want people to highlight on Snapchat? How about getting a sponsored geo filter? If you use Snapchat, you'll know that there are filters available based on where you are. So, for instance, there are plenty of London ones right here, but also Camden ones, which are even more targeted. Now, basically, your organization can join in on this fun. So if you have an event coming up, just like we did the other week, you can sponsor a filter inside Snapchat that would then be available to all users who are at that location. The process is very simple. You have to create a filter image, which can have text and or graphics on it, just something, typically something fun that people will want to use. And you upload it to Snapchat and they will review it, make sure it complies with their rules and so on. Then you also set the geographical reach. So in this case, it was basically a few blocks around our office, obviously making sure to cover a few busy streets, so the Camden High Street, for instance. And the price of this will vary on the size of the area you want to cover. So in our case, for a few blocks, it was roughly $20, which isn't much, and we only had the filter for 12 hours. So you set exactly how long you want it for, and you can buy it in the future, say like on that day, for instance. So then of course it's up to you to remind people to swipe left and to reveal your new shiny filter and actually use it as much as possible. So definitely a fun thing to do. It makes people want to make sure to use the filter before it's gone, and the results should be that you get more engagement on Snapchat around your events and possibly even other networks as people do screen grabs and tweet, for instance. So that's my tip of the week. Happy snap filtering. With that, it's time to transition to this week's interview. Let me patch in New York City. Delaney Simmons, how are you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, tell us about WNYC and what you do there.
So I'm the social media director at WNYC and New York Public Radio, which is the U.S.'s most listened to talk radio station. We also produce some podcasts. So this is very meta for me. We produce Radiolab, Freakonomics. Our newest show is Two Dope Queens. We also have some great shows like Note to Self, Death, Sex, and Money. And hopefully whoever is listening to this has seen some of those in the top 100 on iTunes. So shouldn't be news to anyone what WNYC does. And we also produce great live radio shows here for New York City. So we do quite a bit.
Yeah, great. I didn't know you made Freakonomics. So that's something new for me. And what is the W of WNYC? I guess the NYC is New York City.
The W, I think, is just the call letter. We've been on the air for 90 years, and I think back in the day when, and I'm like trying to pull out my radio classes from college, but the call letter was just what it was called, like WBUR, WBEZ, WNYC. It's just sort of the W is like the radio call letters.
Okay, great. Now, if we focus in on social media, what are your objectives at WNYC, and also what are your
together WNYC?
That's it. I've never actually heard a jingle. So, what are your challenges?
So, I think our objectives are twofold. We work really hard to find new audiences, both for local radio programming and for our on-demand podcasting. So, seeking new audiences on social media is kind of hard for radio, right? You're not clicking over from anywhere. If you're listening to a piece of content, we have to be very clear about what we want you to do. So you might hear at the end of a Brian Lehrer program, you know, follow us at WNYC. And, you know, those call outs are so generic. So we're really trying to find unique opportunities for fans of our audio programming and of our podcast to kind of come over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and see what we're doing and our unique offerings there. And I think that we have to be really creative about what we're doing there because audio content isn't visual. We sort of have a uphill battle when it comes to visualizing our audio content, and a picture of someone in the studio, as you probably know, just isn't as engaging as we want it to be. So that's one of our biggest challenges, and our objectives are bringing people back over and then also finding new people and sort of creating that feedback loop from the audio to social media and from social media back to our audio.
And so you're based in New York, but I guess if it's podcasting and it might be online radio, is your remit global, or will you take listeners from anywhere, or?
Yeah, so WNYC is definitely an international brand at this point. The local programming is aired nationally on NPR, mm-hmm. in addition to our podcast having international reach, having, you know, you be a fan of Freakonomics is a great example. Our new show, Two Dope Queens, is reaching people all the way in South Africa and Australia, and we're getting some really great fan comments from an international audience, and I think that really speaks to the globalness of podcasting now.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at your social channels, which ones are most important to WNYC and why?
Well, they're all my babies, so making me choose is kind of difficult. I would say there's a lot of clout in our podcast brands. So if you look at the Radiolab Facebook page, I think we're over 250,000 fans now. That brand has been around for a long time. We've been grandfathered into a really amazing community of listeners. The Two Dope Queens accounts have sort of taken off from scratch. And as we all know, I think everyone listening will know how hard it is to grow organic fan audiences nowadays with all of our platforms being sort of pay to play. So we've been really pleasantly surprised at the success of those accounts. The WNYC Instagram is a really unique place. If people want to go check it out, We post pictures of weird things that we see around the city, like a mattress on the street that says free hugs or you're beautiful or something like that. So there's just like quirky, weird New York moments that is captured there. It really speaks to the tone of our audio.
Great. And where are you experiencing the highest levels of engagement?
I think we're still seeing the highest levels of engagement on Facebook. When we talk about radio, we do talk about a little bit of an older audience, and that lives on Facebook primarily. We are seeing great engagement on Twitter with our podcast when there's a journalism component. I think we still see a lot of news junkies on Twitter kind of in that real-time moment when our content does hit that breaking news stride. But, you know, we talk about social media for audio in a really specific way. It is hard to get people there and to get people to engage with content that isn't visual. So most of our engagement is probably happening when we build engagement projects into our podcasts. So a good example would be a podcast called Note to Self, hosted by Manoush Zomorodi. They do a project once a year, and it's always a huge project. Our most recent project was called Info Magical, and it was actually a 5-day challenge asking fans of the podcast to listen to a new episode every single day and do something that edits their behavior. So when audio can actually come into your life and challenge you to be better in certain aspects or change a behavior to increase your productivity, that's where we see a lot of engagement, because then we see people flooding to all of our accounts across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our email newsletter, our texting system, letting us know how the podcast has actually influenced their life. And that's like a meaningful engagement for us, more than a like or more than a comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to check that out. And I've read something about audiograms. Tell us, what's the scoop, Delaney?
So we can't take credit for the name, but we have invented something. And I like to say invented because no one else has really figured out how to create this type of tool. But when you look at Facebook and you look at Twitter, you can't actually upload a piece of audio. So I come from the TV industry. I was at A&E and History Television for 3 years. And our biggest asset was sampling. So we could put out a promo, we could put out a teaser, a behind-the-scenes clip, and get people excited about watching our TV shows. We don't really have that ability in audio. So what we've done is we've built a tool. It's currently only available for WNYC, but we're looking to open source it in the next month or so. And we'll definitely have to give you the info. But it's a tool that producers can go in, upload a clip of audio, and turn that audio into a movie file. So the movie file can then be uploaded on video.twitter.com, on Facebook native, on Instagram, if it's less than 30 seconds on Tumblr. So we're actually visualizing our audio content in a really interesting way. The way we've set it up is that it's 30 seconds maximum. The show, like Radiolab or Freakonomics, would pick their brand. And so then they would take the audio, pick their brand, the logo goes on it. And then there's an equalizer across the screen that is actually reading the highs and lows of the audio. And I'm not an audio engineer, but it does, like, you know, peak when it's louder and get a little blippy moment when it's a little bit more quiet. So if you're scrolling through your newsfeed, the hope is that you see a piece of content that looks like an audio player. You're naturally like, oh, this looks like audio. I have to click to play to hear the sound. And we're actually working on closed captioning those videos because, as we all know, videos play autoplay with no sound. So we're really looking to try to capture that in line, scrolling through your newsfeed sampling moment, and finding audio that's super shareable.
Yeah, absolutely. And what results have you seen from these audiograms?
Oh, we've seen incredible results. I've been really, really happy with them. We've seen upwards of 50% increase in engagement on Twitter. We've seen them do organic reach on Facebook about on par with our regular videos. And I think that success is if you can take a piece of video content that isn't really video and it's doing just as well. I think that speaks volumes. And we've also seen, I think it's about 30% increases in completion rate on Twitter. So people are actually sticking around for the whole 30 seconds. And I think that 30 seconds is sort of that magic number of like, I've got 30 seconds to kill. Sure, I'll listen to this piece of audio. And hopefully people want to go find the long form audio. We're really doing this to get people back to our long form content where we monetize and make sure that people are excited about what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say, well, you want to drive people back to the full audio content, how can you track this and how can you calculate the ROI on social media in general? Can you look at, you know, who tunes in because they saw a tweet, or do you have to estimate things?
It is a lot of estimation. I think in podcasting, we're still in the wild, wild west yes. of analytics. Everyone's measuring a download or a listen a little bit differently. But from social media, we do see number of clicks. We don't know if they clicked over and listened, but number of clicks is a pretty good estimation of how many people got to that landing page where the long form audio does live. So we just shorten all of our links. And we just track click-throughs that way. Video.twitter.com and also Facebook Native have the ability to do a custom call to action, which is like a link overlay on top of your videos. So if you're hitting play, there's a little button that shows up in the top right-hand corner that says watch more or learn more, and you can click over, and it either links to iTunes or to WNYC.org or to the WNYC app.
Great. Okay, so how can a podcast in general, so you've got some really big brand podcast there, but how about someone that's starting out or who's been doing it for a while? How about this podcast, for instance? How can you attract listeners by moving beyond just the sound?
I think it is still a pay-to-play situation. Social buying has become incredibly inexpensive, mm-hmm. Especially on Facebook. We still see Twitter as being a little bit more expensive, but doing highly targeted posts on Facebook can be really effective to get people aware of what you're working on. We always start with a really great influencer strategy. So it's the same as any industry, but if you can get some big people or some big brands excited about what you're doing, if you can work on booking the right people that have a large social following to post about your new episode, I think that that's still sort of a best practice that we should all be following. And I don't have a ton of Twitter followers, but I will post about this episode when it's live. And if I did have a ton of followers, you know, that would be sort of awareness for my audience in that regard.
Yeah, now that I come to think of it, yeah, as you mentioned, advertising, that I have been targeted by other, marketing podcasts on Facebook, just a link straight to the iTunes store. So,
And links to iTunes are going to perform terribly organically. I wouldn't recommend anyone linking to iTunes unless it's going to be in a boosted post. And I think that that's just because the Facebook algorithm obviously reads that as an off-platform post, and we're all going to sort of be suppressed. All those posts are going to be not prioritized in the algorithm if it's not content or it's not funny or it doesn't speak to the organic audience that you've gained. I also tell a lot of people that are just starting out, you don't need to be everywhere. I don't think every new podcast needs an Instagram account. I don't think everyone needs a Tumblr account. I think starting with Facebook and Twitter is a good next step. And there's also some really niche audio communities that you can tap into. There's a new app that we're working with called Anchor, and it's like social audio. And what you do is you pick up your phone, you can record 2 minutes, and people can respond with their voices. So it's like Twitter, but with everyone's voices. And it's kind of this really awesome niche community of people that love podcasting, that love audio. And that's kind of low hanging fruit, I think, for a lot of podcasting audiences. We're not going to convert a TV listener or TV watcher, excuse me, to listen to a podcast. But if you can already find podcast audiences that are doing what you're doing, that's easy peasy.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what do you think of, Facebook becoming a big platform for podcasts, or even I was just thinking about Spotify now also letting in podcasters, and this podcast is actually hosted on SoundCloud. Yeah, what are your thoughts on those platforms for natively hosting podcasts?
I think third parties are always going to be a big part of what podcasting is about. iTunes created the word podcast. So we're sort of beholden to
it. So they are to blame for the term, which everyone hates.
I don't hate it.
It's just a bit misleading, isn't it?
I guess it is. But now it's such a consumer-facing word that we all have to like hold on and just use it because that's what people understand. Like when people use the word show, I find that like really confusing. I'm like, well, is it like a play? Is it a movie? Is it a short series? Is it a web series? It's like, no, it's a podcast. So let's just use the word podcast. But I think that we're beholden to third parties in a big way because hosting your own audio can be really tricky.
Yeah.
We're lucky here at WNYC that we have an incredible digital ops team, and they host our audio across all of our own platforms in addition to our third-party platforms. But I think Spotify and Google getting in on the game is only going to be better for all of us. A podcast listen on Google is a podcast listen on iTunes, is a podcast listen on the WNYC app. I'm just excited that more people are finding our content, and working with those third parties is a really big part of how we define success for our shows. And if we can get Google on board to promote one of our shows, and if we can get iTunes to be excited about our show, we know that it's going to do well because that's where people already are listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at, we have talked about quite a lot of technology already, but is there any social technology or apps that that you can't really live without and you would want to recommend to fellow marketers?
Sure. I spoke about Anchor.
Yep.
We're also working with BJ Novak and his new app, which is the List app, which I really like. It's kind of like a fun way of just making viral lists. And I don't love the word viral, but sort of the way I think about it. I probably couldn't live without Buffer. Obviously, they do a lot of great things in social scheduling and optimization. There's a lot of stuff coming out of BetaWorks that I'm excited about that I probably can't talk about yet, but there's a ton of new tech coming out in the audio world. And I think like everyone's finally adopting it as something that they're excited about and focusing on, prioritizing and realizing that there's a real market for monetizing that content, growing, finding new audiences, finding younger audiences that are spending a lot of money. You know, the podcast industry is very intellectual. They don't want to be spoken down to. And I think that tech companies in Silicon Valley is like, all right, there's something here and we should be focusing on it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And in terms of when you manage social media at WNYC, have you got a listening tool? I assume you have one in like a management tool such as Hootsuite or similar.
Yep, we use Hootsuite for scheduling and listening. Mm-hmm. In my previous life at A&E in history, we used Sprinklr, which I still think is just best of class, but they are quite expensive.
And they are. It's a very nice looking tool, but it's expensive.
It's incredibly custom, though, and I do miss the days of being able to build those Boolean rules, and that's so nerdy that I just said that, but... I just miss it a little bit. But Hootsuite's great. Buffer's great. I really like the analytic platform in Sprout Social, and they're not very expensive. I think they do really great customizable exportable reports. It's nice to walk into a meeting with a clean-looking, easy-to-read report and being like, here you go. Here's how you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at brands that inspire you on social, who might they be and why?
That's a good question. I'm always inspired with what Netflix is doing. I think their philosophy is really interesting in that they have the ability to not link anywhere, which I think is critical to their success. You don't have to tell a Netflix fan on Facebook where to go. They know to go to Netflix. So they have the ability just to 100% create amazing, shareable content that gets you excited about those shows. And it's more of an awareness play and less of a click-through, less of a social ROI. I think that their social ROI is just 100% engagement. Like, how can we find and engage interesting communities? I think that some of the shows I used to work on, Vikings, if you look at the history show Vikings, they have incredible social media accounts. They've been maintained in my absence, which makes me sad, but also makes me happy that I left left some good processes there for them. I also think that Seamless, I'm not sure if you guys have Seamless over there. Do you?
I'm not familiar with what's Seamless.
It's like it's food delivery. So.
Oh, right.
Can just order a burger or whatever and it shows up in 30 minutes. Their social media moderation is on point. If you tweet at them and be like, my burger is 45 minutes late, they just tweet right back at you and say, great, we've refunded it. And it's just like the easiest thing. And I think that Microsoft is doing similar things of like working one-on-one with fans on social media as their customer service strategy is interesting. And unique to their business.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you spell that, SEMA?
Oh, Seamless. SEAMLESS.
Oh, okay, Seamless. Now, yeah, we got something.
If you go on their Twitter account and just look at all their tweets and mentions or and replies, you should just see like hundreds and thousands of messages directly to fans that are just like, we're so sorry that happened to you. Here's $10 off your next order.
So basically, they people only get in touch when they don't get it right. That's yeah, we have something similar here called Deliveroo, which yeah, and yeah, they're also very good on social. Great, that was my questions. Where can we learn more about yourself, Delaney, and where can our listeners also become listeners of WNYC?
Awesome. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Delaney Social. Or you can follow WNYC or go to WNYC.org. It has a list of all of our shows. And if you just want to hang out in the app you're already listening to for this show, you should find Radiolab and Freakonomics, Two Dope Queens, and all of our new shows right there in your podcasting app.
Hey, thanks, Delaney.
Yeah, thank you so much.
WNYC, WNYC, WNYC. Actually not that hard to say, but it does look harder written than it is. So once you say it, it makes sense. So what do you think of audio and social media? What do you think the future is for podcasting and radio and so on social? I find it kind of hard to promote audio in a visual channel because obviously there isn't much to show. People will have to try to imagine what it will be like. Or I will definitely be trying one of these audiograms where you can do like a snippet of some audio. Everything that Delaney mentioned will of course be in the show notes article at linkhumans.com/podcast. And this week's big shout is going out to Carlos Valdivia. And he is the man who was kind enough to suggest I speak to Delaney in the first place. On Twitter, actually. Carlos is a digital strategist at Show of Force, a media production company in New York. No doubt an avid listener to WNYC. Find Carlos on Twitter at Carlos E. Valdivia. I will put a link to that in the show notes. Thank you for that, Carlos. And make sure that you subscribe to this podcast in iTunes and other places. So if you're not a subscriber already, please let me know when you do become a subscriber. That magic moment when you hit the subscribe button, let me know. And I would like to thank you in person. And hey, if you have been subscribing for a bit and you're still enjoying the show, please consider writing up an honest review for us on iTunes. I really appreciate any feedback, so please do that. Okay, with that, we've come to the very end of the show. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you all next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
I do have a tattoo on my body that says to want is to have. It's written in French. And I full-heartedly believe in working hard and shooting for the stars, which is so cheesy. I know that it's really lame, but I didn't get where I am by not working hard. And I think that social media is one of those places where you get a lot of slack. You get people being like, oh, you just hang out on Facebook all day. And I kind of just want to be like, yeah, I do. What do you do for your job? So it's all about just sort of like working hard and doing everything you want to be doing. So to want is to have.